Father, thank you for life. Thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for another year, Lord, you've allowed us to see and be part of. And God, we thank you for these in this auditorium this morning. We thank you for those up on the hill and over in the other building. As the Word of God's presented, Lord, I pray today, Lord, that our hearts might be challenged, our hearts might be blessed. And God, that we might grow, Lord, according to your will, Lord, as we look at this new year, Lord, and what can we do for you? Lord, we know it's our desire, Lord, to be more like you, to do more for you. And God, we just pray now, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, that the Word of God would instruct us and guide us. Lord, it's what we should be doing this year, 2016. Lord, help us to focus more upon you, Lord, than we ever have before. And God, that we might strive to do your will for our lives. Thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, look at verse number 25. We see here in this passage of Scripture that Jesus here, first of all, is giving here in verse number 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now, multitudes always followed the Lord when he was here on this earth. And now notice as he's got this multitude around him now, he turns to them and he says to them. Now, he's going to give them some instruction here, first of all. Now, remember, our thought is what it takes to follow Jesus, okay? Keep that in your mind. What it takes to follow Jesus. Now, notice he says, first of all, in verse number 26, he's instructing them in regard to the family, to the family. Notice he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my what? Disciple. Now, a disciple is who? A follower of Jesus Christ. Now, this is kind of strong stuff here, is it not? When Jesus said this, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what is he talking about? Is he saying I got to hate my brothers and my sisters and my moms and dad, everybody, just to follow Jesus? No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying that at all. He's saying simply this, you know, our natural affections are on people or towards people, are they not? But our divine affection should be upon him. In other words, we should love him more than we love anybody in this world. Why? Because he loved us. He gave his life for us. Therefore, our love should be divine towards him. We should love him with all our heart, just like he instructs us to. It's not that we shouldn't care for our families, but he should be number one. He should be first in our life. See, this is a test. Do I love Jesus more than I love anybody else in this world? Do I love him more than I love my parents? Of course, my parents are gone, my sisters, brothers, my wife, people that I have in my life. Do I love him more than I love them? That's a test, is it not? And we need to realize, he says, if we don't, we cannot be his disciple. We're not his disciple, a follower of him. You know, we get caught up sometimes in following people, don't we? It can be our own family, our relatives, our brothers, sisters, our wives, or whoever, our children. We can get caught up in following them and not follow Jesus. And therefore, we have the tendency not to be his disciple because we're not following him. Not following him. So we see instruction here towards the family. And looking now at verse number 27, we see instruction here in regards to ourselves. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's strong language, is it not? If we do not bear our cross and come after Jesus, we cannot be his disciple. We're truly not his follower. Bearing our cross. What is our cross? We all have separate crosses. We all have different crosses in our life. But if we're not willing to bear our own cross, we're not his disciple. We're not his disciple. Bearing a cross is not easy, folks. It's not easy. But you know, most of us don't really have a cross to bear, a lot of crosses to bear. We are blessed, folks. We really are. There are some snags come in our life once in a while, and we have to deal with those. But thank God he's there to help us to go through it. What are we facing in our life? But we need to be willing. This is a test he's given here to the disciples here. First of all, if we hate not our brother or sister, our children and our sisters, and our own life, we cannot be his disciple. And then he says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We cannot be his disciple. So how, what does it take to follow Jesus? We see here, we see first of all, that being a disciple is essential to making disciples. In other words, we can't help somebody get saved if we don't really know how to be saved ourselves. I mean, it's really impossible. How can, you know, we just can't do that. We also see making disciples is essential in carrying out the Great Commission that Jesus has given to all of us. Listen, this is not something that he says, take it or leave it. He said, this is a command. We're to take the gospel to the whole world. To the whole world. That's God's plan for his children. We have a work to do, folks, taking the gospel to everybody that we can. And we need to be careful. We have the opportunities sometimes that we sometimes neglect, or we let slip through our hands and we don't do what we ought to do. Thank God when we do have the opportunity, and God helps us through that. This past couple weeks ago, I was in the grocery store. I went through the line. I came up to this young lady at the register, waiting, serving me, and I of course, they all got name tags, you know. And I noticed this lady's name on her name tag was Heaven. I'd never seen that before in my life. First one, Heaven. I said, I like your name. She says, thank you. I said, I look forward to going there one day, don't you? And she said, yes, I do. You know, and what a blessing it was to know that, you know, here's a name that have an opportunity to make a witness to a person, you know, because of their name. You know, God opens doors. God sometimes allows us the opportunity to witness to people. And may the Lord help us this year to do more than we ever have as far as making an effort to try to witness for the Lord Jesus, to carry out the Great Commission that he desires us to. What it takes to follow Jesus, you see. You know, Jesus did not begin his program here, the Great Commission, with reaching the world with perfect people. You know that? The people that he had with him were not perfect. They were just ordinary people like you and I. They were ordinary people like you and I. They were people who had problems. And some of them even doubted him whenever he tried to encourage them to go out and to get the Great Commission going. They doubted that this is what I'm supposed to do. Why should I do this, you know? But we see here that people that really make an effort today, people that really count today, are dedicated to a cause, no matter what the cause may be. It may be some kind of cancer drive. And whatever it is, you know, people that have a cause in their life, they're dedicated to that cause. They make a difference, do they not? No matter what their career may be. Likewise, as children of God, we have a cause, folks. That is to promote the gospel to the whole world. And dedication is going to play a big part in how successful we are in doing this. Being dedicated to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be and to produce men and women for his cause, that they might be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ like you and I are. So all of us should seek and do what we can to be disciples and to make disciples this year in 2016. I want to be a better disciple. Do you? I want to maybe to help other people become disciples also, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here this test given to us. Now notice here also, not only he gives instructions, but also he gives illustrations in this passage. In verse number 28, he says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Probably everybody in this room today knows somebody that got saved, and today they're not in church. They're not in church. They're out for whatever reason, for whatever excuse. They're not here. Paul says, I fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. That's my desire. I hope it's yours. You know, I don't want to start the Christian life and then halfway through my life stop and not finish what God wants me to do for my life. What God wants me to do for my life, God wants you to do for your life, is very important, folks. It's very important. He gives an illustration here. Somebody's going to build a tower, build a building. They don't count the cost. Therefore, if they get started, they don't have to stop because they're running out of money or whatever they need to finish the cost. Well, you and I, when we got saved, God saved us for the purpose of getting the gospel to people. All the rest of our life, folks, no matter how long we live, no matter how long we live. And the cost is there. But you know, Jesus Christ paid the price for us to be able to be saved, and he wants us to continue our life. Now notice also another illustration he gives here about unsuccessful war. In verse 31, he says, "What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulted whether he will be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else will the other, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth a message and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Forsaketh all. A king that has a war. He has 10,000. He's facing 20,000. He's got to consider that before he goes into war, has he not? If not, he must send somebody, a messenger ahead, and try to solve the problem, get peace, instead of fighting there. There's a cost to count. There's something to consider here as he gives this illustration. And then we find, last but not least, we find in the verses 34 and 35, he says, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Salt. Christians ought to be the salt of the earth. You know that? What do we salt? What does salt do? One thing, it preserves. What else does it do? Flavor. What else does it do? Have you ever had a broken place on your finger or something and put salt on it? What does it do? It burns. It burns, does it not? See, sometimes our life as a Christian in the front of other people, in the midst of other people, we may send out a message to them and maybe even a message of conviction. We don't know, you see. But salt is very important. We're to be the salt of the earth. God commanded us to be that, you see. And we here have to give out an illustration here of the flavorless salt. The flavorless salt. The Christian that's been saved, born again, started living for Christ, and all of a sudden he's not living for Christ. He's flavorless as far as the world's concerned, as far as being saved and being effective. He's not going to be effective because he stopped. He stopped. I don't like the word quit, do you? You've got a dictionary, you need to go through the dictionary and mark it out. Don't even think about quitting as far as a Christian. Live for the Lord the rest of the days of your life, you see. It's very, very important that we do this. Now, how do we recognize a disciple? How do we recognize a disciple? What are the characteristics of a disciple? And number three, are you a disciple? These are questions we'll look at. We'll look at starting today, and we'll continue throughout this month. Now, take your Bible and turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. What it takes to follow Jesus. This is the Great Commission. This is the last command that Jesus gave to his followers. Christians are supposed to produce, and in order to do that, we have to be disciples ourselves. What is the fruit of a Christian? Somebody tell me. What is the fruit of a Christian? Another Christian, right? What is the fruit of an apple tree? An apple, right? Okay, likewise, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. And once that person gets saved, we're to disciple them, we're to help them, to instruct them. I'm afraid sometimes we drop the ball, sometimes as Christians. when somebody gets saved, we don't disciple them, we don't train them, we don't encourage them. You see, and we find themselves not here. We went, where are they at? Where are they at? Where are they at? Hey, maybe it's us. It could be us, you know. We're not discipling like we should, you see. So we see here, Jesus' Great Commission here says that everything we do must be directed towards making disciples. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, making people, having people desire to want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we have in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. I want us to notice some things about it. First of all, look in verse number 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. First of all, we see here disciples confronting with the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the appointment in verse 16. Jesus appointed them to be in a certain place at a certain time here in Galilee. He appointed them here. We see now look at verse number 17. As they came, we see, and when they saw him, they, number one, they what? Worshipped him. When they saw him there in the mountain on Galilee, they worshipped him. But notice, but some what? Doubted. Some doubted. All that were with him did not worship him. Some doubted here. We see here. And we see the disciples that worshipped him, they were happy. But those that doubted him, they were hesitant about what he was doing. They questioned what he was doing, what he was trying to command them to do. They didn't know whether it was the right thing or not to do. They questioned him somehow or another. You know, someone said, feed your faith and starve your doubt. Or you feed your doubt, you're going to starve your faith. And that's so important, folks. We need to feed our faith. What do we need to feed our faith, folks? Tell me. The Word of God. We need to feed our inner man, our faith, the Word of God. And when our faith is fed, our doubt will go out. But sometimes we get caught in feeding our doubt rather than feeding our faith. May the Lord help us here. They were doubting. Some were doubting the Lord Jesus Christ. Most were with him and for him, but some were doubting here, see, in this. Now notice in verse number 18, and when Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now I want us to notice three things here. Three things we see here in these next three verses. Number one, they were under his authority. They were under his authority. Jesus was giving them authority from him. He was saying this to them. Okay? Number two is they were to make disciples. And number three, they were to baptize and teach them to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things we see in this passage of Scripture right here. Now, first of all, we see verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. There's the power. There's the authority. Jesus says, I have authority to say this to you. I have all power in heaven and in earth. Jesus has all power to give us this commission too, does he not? We would have the same commission here that he gave them. So we see here, first of all, they were under his authority. He's trying to convince them here, the disciples, of his purpose, his great purpose. He does this, first of all, by saying, I have all power. Number two, he's looking at his plan. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. This is his plan. He's our power. This is his plan. You go to all the world and teach the nations the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to go. You know, we're to go. Go. We're to go what? We'll go reach the nations. Go reach the nations, he says. This is good news. We have good news to share to the world, do we not? As children of God, we have the good news. And we're to be sharing it with people. You know, we're caught up sometimes with the bad news, aren't we not? We need to be realizing that, hey, we have good news for you. Have you ever been to a house, knocked on the door, someone comes to the door and say, what can I do for you? Anybody ever done that? What can I do for you? I mean, that's, you know, we get all kinds of questions when we go door knocking and all that. But sometimes people ask that. You know, the best thing to tell them, I have some good news for you. I have some good news for you. When they say, what can I do for you? Say, I have some good news for you, sir or ma'am, whoever it is, and tell them about Jesus dying for them. You know, we have something to share with people, folks, the good news. And God wants us to be busy doing that. He wants us to be busy doing that. And may the Lord help us to do that. But notice, he says, go, ye therefore and teach all nations. Go, he says, go. That's important, is it not? That we go. Would not agree with that? It's important that we go out and tell people about Jesus. But you know what's more important? Notice in verse number 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And what's the next word? Lo. Lo. Notice what he says then. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Folks, we can go all we want to and say all we want to say about the gospel. But unless lo is with us, it's not going to benefit anybody. Unless he's not with us, it's not going to benefit anybody. See, we need him to give us the words to say. He gives us the message to share. We can't share the message ourselves. We need his power. Lo needs to be with us. He needs to be with us. See, lo is very, his presence is to be personally, we're to personally experience it as we go and tell others. His very presence is to be also permanently experienced in our lives by us as his believers, as his children, when we go. See, going is very important, but going without him, now we know he lives in us, but are we asking him to help us? Are we asking him to give us power, to give us wisdom, what to say when we go? Because it's very important for love. Love, he says, I am with you. I am with you. That's a great consolation for me to know. No matter what I face, when I go out visiting, whoever I face, I know that God is with me. No matter what I say, if I pray and I do what I ought to do before I go, God is going to give me the words to say that I need to say. You know? And I want to do that. And whatever the response is, it's up to God, up to those people that I talk to. So we're not doing this thing alone, folks. We're doing it because God has commissioned us to do it. We're doing it because we love God, and he wants us to do this thing of getting the gospel out to people all over the world. So we see here, it's very, very important that as we look at the Great Commission, how to follow Jesus in this year, we need to realize that it's an appointment for us, okay? He's given us the Great Commission. He's commanded us to go and do it. He's given us the power to do it also. He's given us the power to do it also. Now, let's notice some characteristics about disciples. Some characteristics about disciples. First of all, a disciple is who? Is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his disciples, okay? Now, notice also, the disciple of Christianity is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, desiring to learn his ways and apply them in his life. I want to learn the ways of Christ, don't you, and apply them in my life this year. More than ever in my life. So first of all, we see a disciple. He's a follower who desires to learn. To learn. I want to learn. I want to learn more this year than I've ever learned. A disciple is to be a learner. A learner. Now, how are we going to learn? How are we going to learn? Number one, we have to be open. Okay? We have to listen. We have to want to learn. We have to be open to everybody. Saved people, lost people, it doesn't matter who. We need to be open to people where we go. We can learn. Listen, what you know today, what I know today, you know who we learned it from? Other people. Other people. We didn't learn anything on our own. What I know, other people have taught me. Other people have instructed me somehow or another. It might be through a class. It might be through their life. I've learned what I know today because of other people. We need to be open this year to learn, even by our when we witness, no matter who we are, we need to be open. We need to be open and also teachable. In order to follow Christ this year, we need to be open and we need to be teachable in our lives, you see. A disciple realizes that he does not have all the answers. I realize I don't have all the answers. Do you have all the answers? No, we don't. You know, it's sad. We're in great danger when we think we have nothing more to learn about the Christian life. We've come to the end of what we're going to do for the Lord. But we need to be realizing that we all need to learn. We need to be open and we need to be teachable in our life. I'm reminded of the story of the mother that went to the store. Now, this is a country store. I'm not talking about a food line. She went to the country store one day with a little boy. He was 5 or 6 years old to get some groceries. Remember, we need to be open. We need to be teachable, okay, and learn. She went to the store. She went in. She got her few groceries and brought them out to the counter then for the man to check them out. And the little boy, of course, was beside her at that time. And the clerk, he checked out all the groceries, and he said to the little boy, there was a jar sitting on the counter there with candy in it. He said to the little boy, son, said, reach your hand in there and get you a piece of candy. He kind of stuck down his head, you know, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to do it. Anyway, he finished ringing the lady up, and then he said, son, said, listen, there's some candy. It's free. You can have a piece if you want it. The little boy backed up a little bit, you know. And so the lady paid the guy, and after he paid her, he come around the counter and was going to help her with the groceries, the few bags she had there. And the clerk, owner of the store, he reached in the jar with his hand and got a handful of candy and gave it to the little boy. You know, and they got the groceries and they went out of the store. And the mother said to the young boy, says, son, says, listen, why didn't you get the candy when the guy offered it to you? I mean, he said the candy was free, and all you had to do is reach in the jar and get you a piece of candy. You know? And the little boy thought about it for a minute. He said, well, it's this way. He says, his hand is bigger than mine. Be teachable. See, be teachable. Watch out. You see, God wants us to learn, and we learn through experience, do we not? We learn through experience. So we see a disciple is always willing to learn something new from somebody else. Somebody else. Listen, I can learn from you. I believe that with all my heart. We can learn from one another. This year is time to learn, to be open, to be teachable. You know, as far as how to be what God wants us to be. And to, you know, please the Lord this year as we go, how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's put you in my life. He's put me in your life. That we together might follow the Lord. Amen? We might follow the Lord together. We're not in this alone. We're in this together. And following Jesus together, God is going to accomplish great things for Him. Not for us, but for Him. So we see here it's very important. A disciple, we can learn from a babe in Christ as well as from a Christian leader. Babes in Christ are a blessing to me. They really are. They have a lot of zeal. They have a lot of zeal, you know, want to do something for the Lord. They may fumble and fall and all that, but they keep getting up, you know, and going again, you know. It's very good when you're, you know, that's what keeps alive, that's what keeps a church alive, folks. You know that? It's people that have just got saved. They're the life of the church. They really are. They keep us on alert. They keep us awake and realize that, hey, God is still doing something in people's lives. We need to realize that if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we realize that He's given us power, if we realize that we need to learn, we need to be open, and we need to be teachable in our lives, we can follow the Lord Jesus Christ in 2016. May the Lord help us as we learn this together. Learning sometimes also comes from being rebuked. Sometimes we need to be rebuked for things we don't do, things we should do. And therefore, God uses people sometimes to how that to happen to us in our life. And that's a good thing to teach us. The creation of disciples are the way to life, to living, to living. As I grew up, my mom and daddy had to correct me many times on things that I should not do. If they had not corrected me, I might have been killed before I got to be a teenager. But they helped me. They helped me save my life, literally. And therefore, we have to grow together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon said this, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Solomon said that. So, what it takes to follow Jesus this year in 2016. Do you want to follow Jesus? Do you? I do. I believe everyone here does. What's it going to take? We have to be a learner. To be a learner. To be open, be teachable. To realize Jesus Christ has given us the power. To realize He's going to be with us no matter where we go and what we do for Him. He's going to be with us this year. And may the Lord help us and strengthen us as we focus on this, what it takes to follow Jesus. Next, we're going to talk about how a disciple of Christ must put Christ first in their life. A disciple of Christ must put Christ first in their life. That's what we're going to talk about next week as we continue on what it takes to follow Jesus. Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you, dear God, for the Word of God that we have, Lord, to direct us and help us with our walk daily as we live here on this earth, Lord, for you. Lord, there's no greater life than to live for you and to serve you. Father, I pray, Lord, you help us every day, Lord, that we might grow. Lord, that it might be our desire, Lord, to follow you this year more than ever before. Lord, we realize that this could be our last year. This could be our last day. And Lord, we realize that you're going to come one day. We don't know when. But Lord, we're expecting you. We're looking forward to you coming. But Lord, unto them, help us to occupy. Lord, help us to follow you. God, give us that strength. Give us that wisdom. Lord, give us the ability to desire, Lord, this year to follow you more than we ever have. Lord, because this may be the last year. Our time is running out. And God, help us and encourage your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.